Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
We have been in this series. I have taught this series way too much. In fact, I should turn it into a Bible college, because the more that I keep doing it, I keep adding to it, and it ends up being like 20 pages long for each message. So I promise you I'm not going to do that to you today. But I do think that we are in a Bible study. So I did bring in more scriptures than I would in the main sanctuary when we're on a very small time limit, because I believe you girls can handle the Word of God. I believe that we need to learn from the Word of God. You don't come to listen to a man or a woman. You don't come to hear from just what I have to say, but we come to hear from the Word of God. And the Word of God speaks through His Word. His Word is living. It is breathing. It is on fire. It is our power. It is our strength. And it is all that we need. And so we've been going line upon line and precept upon precept. If you're wondering what kind of church we are, that's the kind of church we are. And we allow the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us and teach us from His way. So go with me to 1 Corinthians. We are now finally in 1 Corinthians 12. It takes us a while to get there because we love to dissect the Word, because the Word is so good. And this is, this world is pretty dark. Can we just, can we agree on that? Like, this has been a really messed up few weeks. I mean, yesterday there was more gun violence and more people getting killed at an ICE agency, and they didn't even kill the policemen. They killed the people that were in custody. I mean, it's just like, what is wrong with everybody? You know, let's just get them saved. Can we just go get everybody saved and the power of God move? Because we're seeing darkness after darkness after darkness. I've watched people bite and devour this week. I've watched people tear apart. I've watched people say things that aren't true. I've watched lying blatantly to our face as Americans and to our face as believers. I've watched people in the church bite and devour each other. I watched people say, if they didn't say Charlie's name this week, leave your church. I've watched people say that if they did say Charlie's name, leave your church. Good Lord, you can't win. And I'm here to say, listen, we are not of this world. We are a family. We are the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, and we follow what the Word of God says. I want to be a church that looks like heaven. I want to be a church that seeks the heart of God. I want to be a church that knows God's heartbeat and His patterns and His paths. I want to be in a place of discerning that maybe my heart does get tinged by things, but then I can stop myself and be like, no, what is that? I got to stop that. Satan's trying to get me against this. Satan's trying to put me back in an old place. Satan wants to break off some things from us, girls. And I believe that the only way to do that is through the power of the blood of Lamb and the word of His testimony. I believe that there are demonic and spiritual forces out there coming after us. And yet God says, I have given you everything you need to have victory over these things. So today, we are going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the word charismata. I'm not Hebrew, so just bear with me. And it means the evidence of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And it's active through the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Many people are confused, and they are ignorant. In fact, you're going, did you just call people stupid? Yes, I did. I totally did. Because we are stupid. But when we get the power of God, we're no longer stupid. We're no longer dumb. We actually can see things through a godly sense, through a godly lens, through godly ways. Anything apart from that, I'm stupid. You can go ahead and write a review about me saying, Pastor Jess called me stupid. No, I called me stupid, because without God, I don't know anything. I'm thinking in my flesh. I'm thinking in my own ways. I'm thinking in my own feelings, right? Oh, she's all up in her feels. But I refuse. I refuse to not walk in the Spirit every day, all day long. That means I gotta put on what God has for me. That means I gotta have the manifestation of God working in my life, and He does this through the gifts of the Spirit. That means that I've gotta be in tune with what God has given me. I've gotta be in tune with God's mighty power. Guess what? I gotta clothe myself with the mighty power of God. And that's what 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about. Go with me there. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, are you dear brothers and sisters? Yes. regarding your question about the special abilities and that the Spirit gives us. I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along worshiping speechless idols. Let me stop there for a second. Let me give you context. They were in a time in the Corinthian church where they lived in a hub, where all different religions came in, all different types of lives came in. They had temples, and they had temple prostitutes, and people would think that if they would go sleep with a temple prostitute, that they would actually be godly. And so they were falling under false pretenses, calling it God, calling it spiritual, because there was spiritual activity, but it was actually demonic activity. Okay? And so here's Paul talking to them, that you were still pagans worshiping speechless idols. God says in Isaiah, what are you worshiping these idols that you can carve out of your own hands? Idols cannot save you. You should worship me when my hand can save you. You see, we got to understand who we're worshiping when we sing these songs. We got to understand that if God, the creator of heaven and earth, knows you by name, wants to partner with us, and he wants to bring on a revelation of his Spirit in and through us daily. This is not just sometimes. Girls, this is every single day available for you. And so here they are, speechless idols, verse 3. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus. I remember an interview that I recently heard. I will not mention the names of one of our leaders and another man. And the leader kept saying Jesus like a cuss word. Called him Jesus Christ over and over and over again. And the person interviewing him said, can you please stop or I'm going to actually cut this interview off. Quit using my Lord's name in vain. And kept saying it. Had to do it like 5 times. Listen, church, we need to pause and stop letting people get away with talking about who our God is. Because they cannot say the name of Jesus if they are not of God. Okay, so you know what spirit they're of when they do that. Verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit in the source of all of them. That means the Spirit of God gives them all. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does a work in all of us. How about God does a work in maybe the girl next to you, the girl behind you? No, you. God works in all of you. Say, God works in all of me. See, God wants to partner with you. And it says, verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each one so we can help each other. Did you know you're not alone? We got each other's backs. We are on cue. We are on time with each other. We need to start caring for each other a little bit more if God cares this much about us caring about each other. Verse 8. To the one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, which we talked about last time. To another, the Spirit gives the message of knowledge. Verse 9, the same Spirit gives a gift of faith, which we have not covered yet. And to another, someone else, to the Spirit gives the gift of healing, which we have not covered yet. He gives one person the power to perform miracles. That'll be next time. And another ability to prophesy. We're going to talk about prophecy today. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether it is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And to another person, he gives the ability to speak in unknown languages, talking about tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret it of what is being said. It is said that one day only the Spirit who distributes all these gifts, he alone decides which gift each person should have. The gift behind the gifts is the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? The gift behind the gift is the Holy Spirit. He is the promise of the Father to us. The Spirit was given to us to influence us, to indwell us, to fill us, to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, to empower us. You do not have to walk through your daily walk alone because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you said yes to Jesus and you asked the Holy Spirit to come and live and dwell within you, you are a walking ambassador of the gifts and the move of the Holy Spirit on this earth. That's who you are as a Christian. Paul was addressing this Corinth church because they didn't understand this. He had to teach them. He had to teach them these gifts were not for themselves. Because every time you went to go to an idol, why did you go to an idol? To benefit yourself. to get something for you, get something for your family, get something that you needed, you wanted to fulfill. You mean to tell me that when they went to go sleep with those temple prostitutes, that they weren't fulfilling their sexual desires? It's a perverted nation we live in now. You can't turn on the news, the internet, or nothing without something being perverted. The same spirits that were operating then are still here now, girls. Wake up. So we need to be operating in the Spirit of God so that we know how to come against these things. Because they're out there. But you are not out there alone without any weapons. You're out there with the mighty weapon of God. The Holy Spirit gives as He wills. Some of these gifts are for you, and they stay with you forever. Sometimes people have that discerning of spirit where they see things all the time. But then sometimes God will just give that to you sometimes when you need to know what it is. You'll just need to go. I was talking to my son today, and he was saying, yeah, I just know things. I just walk in a room, and I can feel stuff. I'll get goosebumps. I said, do you know how to what you're doing with that? That's the discerning of spirits. You need to pray and ask God, what is that I'm experiencing? And begin to pray against it. He goes, oh, okay. Because he's now, his job is like everywhere, and he's in crazy spaces and places. And so he's like, man, you know, I'm realizing, like, I need these things in my everyday. You see, girls, wherever you go, the gifts are moving through you and in you. I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit gives it as He will. So don't forget, you don't have to make this happen. Don't try and do that yourself. Just rely on the Holy Spirit. And if you have need of something, be like, Holy Spirit, help me. I've had people say, Pastor Jess, my so-and-so went into the hospital. I don't know if they're going to make it. They got in a car accident. And I said, right now, let's pray for a gift of faith. And God will give you a gift of faith to push you through that very hard place. You see, we'll talk about that next week. But this is where God wants us to do. So today we're going to talk about declarative gifts, our vocal gifts, our gifts that when we release something from our mouth, when we release the words, that there's power in your words. When God breathed and when He spoke, the earth existed. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, but I was there. I am the Word. And I was there in the beginning, and I am now the Word now. Why? Because He was the spoken Word in the beginning of creation. Why? Because there's power in our words. That's why guard your mouth. And when things come at you and things are being said towards you, you break those things. You see, our words have power. So these declarative gifts are important for us to understand what they do. So I'm about to read a lot of scriptures. Are you girls going to be okay with this? Because as I was studying this out, I couldn't skip. So we're going to jump ahead. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, so we're going to just deal with 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, and then we'll teach you in between. Because we're going to do this now because it's there, and it's the revelation of these gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Isn't that good news? Verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets. Why? Because then that turns into prophecy. So that the church may be edified. So what are we noticing a pattern of? God wants us to be edified in some dark places. Your hearts might be heavy. There's spaces that you don't understand. There's things you just don't know how to reconcile in your mind and in your will and in your emotions. But it is by the Spirit of God that begins to edify you, wash away, cleanse, restore. You see, that's why God is doing this for us. I love that. Now, brothers and sisters, if I have come to you to speak in tongues, what good will it be to you unless I bring you some revelation and knowledge or prophecy or word or instruction? Verse 7, even in the case of lifeless things that make sound, such the pipe and the harp, how would we ever know what tune is being played unless there's a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpets do not sound clear, who will get ready for the battle? I don't want to miss those trumpets in the end times. Verse 9, so it is with you unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue. Intelligible, yes. Words with your tongue. How will anyone know what you are saying? You will be like speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them without meaning. And if then I were not to grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner. I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. That means we cannot understand each other. Have you ever been in a room with somebody you don't understand the language and you're kind of signing? You're like trying to get your point across? They call it lost in translation. I don't want to be lost in translation with what the Spirit is doing. Verse 12, so it is with you that since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, one speaks in a tongue, should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue and my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Ooh, I don't want that. So what shall I do? Verse 15. I will pray in the spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing in the spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Verse 16. Otherwise, when we are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put into position of inquire say amen to and your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. Verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. This is Paul speaking. Verse 19, but in the church, I'd rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children in regard to evil infants, but by thinking like adults. In the law, it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, you will not listen to me, says the Lord. Verse 22, tongues, then, a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So let's get this right. Prophecy is for us as believers, but tongues is actually going to bless others that do not believe. I'll teach you how and why later. Isn't that interesting? So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquires of unbelievers come in, will they not say, are you out of your mind? Verse 24, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in and everybody is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and they are brought under judgment by all, and the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and they will worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. You see, our gifts are for different reasons, for different purposes. And they're actually very deep. The declarative gifts are very powerful and they're very deep. And I want all of you to be able to learn how to enter in, to partner with the Spirit of God, to hear His voice in new ways, to believe God for impossible things. And I know God has that for you. So the first gift that we're going to dive into is the gift of prophecy. This can be weird. This can be woo-woo. People cannot always get it right. I heard people fighting online the other day about a prophecy that a pastor that I do respect gave. And he put it out there and people were like, where's this in the Word? Prophecy isn't always out of the Word. It's actually an extension of what the Spirit of God is speaking to us in that time, in that moment. A lot of times God will bring the Word out of a prophecy. But it says to another, the ability of prophecy in verse 12:10. But 1 Corinthians says, to follow the way of love eagerly desires the gifts, especially prophecy. So God is highlighting this gift. Verse 3, it says, but the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Verse 24, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin. They are brought under judgment by all, and the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so that they will fall down and worship, exclaiming, God really is among you. Prophecy is a word that we think of sometimes as predicting the future. But it's not always just that. It's actually on purpose, and there's a reason for it. Prophecy means it's a message of encouragement from God. It's delivered through a human vessel to another person or persons. Okay? Prophecy is an expression of the heart and the mind of God for you and I. So do not despise it. Prophecy is not to bring discouragement, correction, rebuke, or judgment. 1 Corinthians 4:3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comforts them. A great way to prophesy is to ask yourself, did that bring me comfort? Have you ever gotten a word from someone? Did that bring me comfort? So many times I've had people come and give me a word. And I'll be like, okay, thank you. But if that word, this is how you test it. First off, you don't go and make it happen for yourself. You just let God bring that into time when that is time. You let God work that perfect plan out. You receive that prophecy and you hide it in your heart like Mary hid things in her heart. Hide it in your heart and ask God, pray about it. Find scriptures about that prophecy. Begin to speak over it. Because I believe God builds things in us and he brings things to us so that we begin to understand maybe the future of what's going to happen. Not for us to be afraid, but for us to be knowledgeable. So when these things happen, guess what happens? Like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. Oh, I remember God spoke to me about that. It is a confirmation. There's been times people have spoken something and it's a confirmation of what God was already speaking to my life and in my life through the word of God, through other ministers, and through the Spirit. And so it was a confirmation. So prophecy will bring confirmation to your heart. Prophecy will speak life into you. Prophecy will speak will over you. I had a word for Zariah at the conference. As she sang, I just saw salvation flowing out of her singing. And just out of her singing. I wouldn't have normally prophesied in front of everybody, but I literally was like, I heard the Lord say, no, tell her in front of everyone. And that was a prophecy for her. Later, she was like, I believe it. God's already been talking to me about that. You see, guys, these things are us being used and moved by God in greater ways. When we do not understand prophecy, we can get caught up and it puts us into a panic and a worry and a fear. And so then I will ask you, what spirit are you listening to? Because you have to have the spirit of discernment in the middle of all of that. Because Satan likes to counterfeit these gifts. In fact, Satan does have power and rule and reign in this world. It does not mean he has power, rule, and reign over you. And so when a prophecy goes forth, and maybe you're like, that was weird. And your spirit man's like, I don't know. Just be okay with that. Walk away and just say, well, Lord, you just cover it. If that's you, so will let your will be done. Don't curse the deliverer. Don't say anything about them. We one time went as a women's ministry to this conference, and I was looking for a local conference for my girls to go to get filled up, because we're always the ones pouring out. And so we go to this conference, and the first night, I'm like, ooh, something's not right here. Like, I was just having a hard time. And they sing a song that I know is anointed, but it was like grinding in my spirit, man. Like, it was like, how can you take something godly? And it just wasn't right. And so we went back to the hotel room, and I was like, can we talk? Like, what was that? There was something off there. Why was I not getting into the spirit like everybody else? Usually I'm right there with everyone when it's of God. And so we went back the next day, and I saw this lady and all these little kids, like a ton of little kids. And I was like, what is this? This is weird. And she walked by me, and my spirit man was like, freaking out. And I was like, this isn't right. Something's not right. I don't know who these people are. And so they introduced her and her child prophets. And I was like, okay, what the heck is that? And she was like grooming them. And she was like, you come here and this is how you're gonna. It was just so creepy weird. Later I found out there's a demonic covet, whatever they called. What are they, demonic witches? Yeah, covenant. Down there, and I literally was praying and asking God the other day, is that what was that? Was that what that was? And he told my spirit man, yes. And I said, we walked out of there. I was like, we're out of here. We are out of here. This is not God. And I literally was telling my girls, and we went home, and we missed the snow. It snowed here that day, and I was like, the one day it snows in San Bernardino, and I got to be with some stupid witch. Like, but guys, you gotta understand what prophecy is, right? Like, you gotta understand. You will have a knowing. There'll be a peace. It will bring you a peace. God's word will already confirm what's going on in your life, and God will bring that word to you so that you go, okay, yes, good, I'm on the right track. I'm going the right way. God's got my back. That's what prophecy will bring to your life, okay? So ask yourself, is this encouraging? Is this edifying? 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 3, pursue love and desire these spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So many times the church does not understand these things. And guess what happens? They run. These things are not for today because they can't explain it. But I'm here to say you can explain God. We know in part, we see in part. He is God, we are human. But he does want to partner with us, and the closer you get to him, the more you will have an understanding of how his spirit moves and how his spirit leads and how his spirit speaks. I'll never forget, right before COVID, I had this crazy prophecy. It was like burning in my bones. I said to Dan, I have a word for the church. I got up, and while I got up, the word, Gabby, can you just make sure? The word was like so rich, it was so thick. And as that word was going out, I couldn't let it go. I wanted to. I kept telling Dan, no, I don't want. He goes, you need to go. Like, this is too much for you. Like, get up there. And it was right before 2020. It was like in January. And I was like, something is coming. Something's coming. And I remember saying, don't be afraid. Church, this is our rise up moment. And I remember speaking that. So then the next week, on a Wednesday night, Dan got up, and he had a different word, a word that, like, partnered with what I said. Little did we know the week after that COVID was going to hit our land, that we were going to have an epoch moment in our time and in our life. And yet God was warning us as believers not to bring fear to us, but to bring us an understanding of what's to come. See, prophecy brings a foretelling of what is to come. And so as God is doing this and as God is speaking, you may hear things like, because I've just heard some prophecies, and they do bear witness with my heart. And they were saying that all the things we saw in the past 2 weeks of murder, just brutal murders, like one after another, brutal, nasty murders. The Lord was like, birth pains. What happens in birth pains, daughter? I said, they get worse. Birth pains don't get easier, right? No, they get harder, and the labor gets harder. So, church, that's the word that I believe God is speaking to us as the body of Christ. Just bear down, hold on, because it may get harder, but we have the gifts of the Spirit. We have the power of God, and he's going to get us through. He's going to take us through, and no matter how many birth pains we have to walk through, God has us. God is equipping us, and he's filling us. I told my daughter this word, and instantly she's like, am I not supposed to be afraid when you say things like that? I mean, what's it like to be my kid, you know? And I'm like, no, this should not put fear in you. This should put an understanding of what's to come in you. That means that you begin to pray against the power of darkness. That means that you begin to speak life into dead places. That means our spirit man awakens so that I have a foretelling of what I know is coming, but I'm going to bring comfort and peace through the word of God to whatever circumstance I find myself in. Romans 12, 6 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with much faith as God has given you. Number 2, gift of tongues. So many times, people are afraid of this. This is weird. This is odd. I don't understand this. I must not have enough faith for this. I don't think God wants to give this to me. You know, he just didn't give me that gift. But I believe all the gifts are for us all the time. That's what the word said. And so Satan likes to bring this one and oppose it. Did you know that actually when you are coming against darkness and dark powers, they have a demonic prayer language that sounds like speaking in tongues? Because Satan always has a counterfeit to what God does. So you'll need the discerning of spirits to know what is operating and what spirit are they of. You see, he loves you. He wants to sow love into your heart, but Satan wants to sow doubt into your heart. Satan does not love you. He wants to bring confusion to your heart. He wants to bring fear and an ability to not be able to understand the depths of God. But I'm here to tell you, you are more than capable of understanding the depth and the will of God in your life and in other people's lives, because God tells us that we can press in. Having the gift, having the prayer language, is a deeper revelation of God's Spirit working in and through us. It is that extra dunamis power. It is that extra jump into what God is doing instead of just me getting by Christian. I don't want to be a getting by Christian. I don't want to just be comfortable in what I don't know. But I need the power of God operating, and that means I've got to press in, and I've got to begin to talk to God in the language that God talks in. I got to say things that God says. That means I don't know why I'm saying this, but God knows what I need to say. You see, the gifts of the spirit of tongues, the gift of tongues is your prayer language, and it will not be confused. The gift of tongues is a word of tongue, and it will need an interpretation. But the most beautiful thing about interpretation, which we will get into, is that you can ask God for the interpretation of what you just prayed. So as you're praying in the spirit, you can say, God, what am I praying for? And he will drop into your heart what you're praying for. There's been so many random things that I've been praying for. I've prayed for other nations. I prayed for other tribes, people like in the bush that I didn't even know who they were. I was like, what? And then I looked it up online. I'm like, oh, that's real. Like, we get to connect with heaven on a bigger scale than San Bernardino in your little house. You get to be a part of what God is doing across the world when we tap into our prayer language, because we began to intercede what God is interceding. I don't know about you, but I'm in. I want all that God has for me. So the gift of tongues is a beautiful interpretation. It will edify. It will encourage the body of Christ, but will encourage you. Remember, the Spirit gives as he wills. Verse 10, he gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives one to discern, and one the Spirit of God for another spirit, from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. So Paul is addressing this because this was not weird for them to hear other languages. They were in Corinth. They all came from different lands. But not just that, they had demonic activity very present. And so God was determining what God's prayer language is and what the prayer languages of demonic idols and demonic things that were coming after them. There's a difference. And so I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. It teaches us, for anyone who speaks in this tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utterly are mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people in their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. For anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies a church. I would like everyone to speak in tongues, but I'd rather them prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless there's someone who interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I do come to you and speak in tongues, what good will it do unless you bring some revelation and knowledge and prophecy with a word of instruction? Our prayer language is not for no reason. It's not to be like, oh, I'm stronger. Because a lot of people have these abilities, and God has given them these gifts, and they almost flaunt it like, I'm more spiritual than you. Let's not be like the church. If somebody that you know is in your family, and you speak in tongues, and they don't even agree with it, they think it left with the last apostle, let them think what they want to. You don't have to be like, I'm more spiritual than you are. You're just down here with God, and I'm up here. Do not allow pride to come into what God gives us as a gift. Walk in love with each other. This is not one is better than another. We are the body of Christ. Pray that God reveals himself to them. I remember Dan came out of an evangelical church. I didn't even know what that was because I grew up here. I just had crazy parents, and I watched demons casted out of everybody. I watched legs grow. You know, I was like, so I meet this guy who, like, he's not quite sure about none of that. And I'm like, I really feel good about you. But I told him, if you don't speak in tongues, we are not getting married. Literally, I said that. I was like, I will not have you lead me if you don't speak in tongues. And he was like, what? This is ridiculous, you know, like, if you know the Ross, they're very stubborn and like, not Sue, just Dan Sr. We could talk about him because he's not here anymore. And so Dan Jr. is Dan Sr. And he digs his heels into the ground. And I was like, oh, no, he's met his match. So then they pray for him, and he gets his prayer language. He gets, like, one little word, right, at camp. I'll never forget this. And so Pastor Eddie at the time was like, come on, Dan, you need to actually use it. You need to begin to use that word. And he's like, I don't know if that was God. And I was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to marry you. And so I remember we got into a fight. Like, it was like I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, shut up. You say the Holy Spirit does not say that. Yes, he does. He said it to me, and I know it was him because it was so loud in my head. I was like, all right, yes, sir. So then I was kind of mad at God, like, fine, shut up. I'm defending you. And I heard the Lord say, you don't need to defend me. And I said, fine, God. I pray you hit him so hard, he doesn't know what happened to him. So Dan leaves. He goes to drive home. He does not call me. Where he was driving through the canyon, and I was always worried because remember, he's going back to the hood. And so he's going back to Moreno Valley. And so I would be like, call me. Okay, where he lived wasn't the hood, but he came out of the hood. And so I said, call me because I want to make sure you get there safe. And he's like, okay, but he never called me for like hours. And I was so worried about him. And I was like, oh, man, we got a fight. Maybe I should get in my car and go find him. Finally, he ends up calling me. And he says, you will never guess what happened to me. Instantly, my spirit man rose, like, lit up. And he goes, I was praying. And all of a sudden, my car lit up. I started speaking in tongues so much that I had to pull over on the side of the road. And I sat there for like a good long while because I could not drive. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're getting married. We're getting married. I can follow that man now. You see, I knew that that was that due to my power that I needed him to see and know and have. Today I put on, I listened to this beautiful intercessor, and she prays, and I pray with her, and I get all into it. So Dan is getting ready. He's like, oh, amen. All right. Oh, yeah. Cool. And he starts walking around the house. I'm like, hey, get out of my prayer. Because we got to build ourselves up. What are you speaking and what are you hearing? Because this is what will edify you. This is what will build you up. This gift will strengthen you. This gift will build your heart. This gift is one that does not wane. It does not fall apart. It does not leave you. It does not forsake you because it's the Spirit of God praying through you. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. I could stay on this point all day long, but I know we don't have it. During Rock On, Pastor Dan got up, you know, that evangelical pastor. And he said, I want everybody to pray in the Spirit. But not just pray, I want you to sing in the Spirit. Something happened in that room when we all sang in the Spirit. There was no hate in that room. There was no division in that room. There was nothing that was evil allowed to even come through in that room. We were literally pressing in and together unified in worshiping our King in our prayer language. It was absolutely gorgeous, and it was edifying the body. You see, Paul was a good man, and he understood that they needed this. He understood this, but he also understood that our prayer language and that their prayer language, they needed it because it wars against Satan. Girls, he's coming after you. He's coming after your marriages. He's coming after your kids. He's coming after your mindsets. He's coming after your hearts. He's coming after you. And I'm here to tell you, when you feel depressed, when you feel anxiety, when you feel like you're not enough, when you're constantly worried, so worried about your children that you cannot trust and put them in the hands of God, but you got a helicopter parent so much that you can't trust God with them, I'm here to tell you that's demonic. Can someone be real with you? Because that's a spirit of fear controlling you, and you're giving it to your kids. But when I can pray in the spirit, because I feel that thing come on me, that worry, that fear, that fret, that anxiety, all of a sudden I begin to, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are for the pulling down of strongholds. I bind every work of Satan that wants to come against my mind and my soul today. That's what I just interpreted it for you. You see, I'm here to tell you, it's your warring weapon. Why? Because Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God comes to build you up and to strengthen you through his inner man. Your inner man, that spirit man that lives on the inside of you, needs to be strengthened on a daily basis. And God has that for you. It is an intersection. It is an intersection between demonic and godly. Sometimes it's a deal breaker. Sometimes when you don't know, you just begin to pray in the spirit. You just begin to pray in the spirit. I remember one time I went to a Pilates class for a while. And they would always play evil music. And I asked the teacher, like, can we not play that? Like, I hate F-bombs every morning at 5 a.m. Like, this sucks. And she was like, she knew I was a Christian, and so she's like, I'll do a little better music. I'm like, whatever. So I started praying in tongues as I was doing the moves. And I don't know if, like, people could hear me, because I realized later, like, oh, was that was loud. But their music was so loud that I was warring against the words that were coming at me. And I needed my spirit man to be filled up. I didn't need to be overtaken by what those words were speaking in those songs. Listen, church, be unapologetic about who your God is. I have two really cool stories about this topic. There was a missionary couple. They were called the Northrups, and they were missionaries in a nation that was uncivilized, and they were outsiders. They were a tribal community. It took them a really long time to get to this tribe. You had to go down a river. This is a true story. You had to go down a river to get to this tribe. And so this couple, they were going, and the wife thought, you know, we're going to bring the gospel to them, but I'm going to bring bananas too. And so she had bundles of bananas with her. And on their way down this river, the tribe saw them and swarmed the banks from both sides and climbed into the trees and overtook them. They captured them and brought them into captivity. They weren't allowed to kill them until they brought them before the king of the tribe. And so the king of the tribe, they were all brought, all these missionaries were brought before the king of the tribe. And the king of the tribe called the witch doctor, and the witch doctor ran in front of them screaming with his mouth wide open, screaming, screaming, screaming. And this woman, this wife of her husband who she was following, she heard the spirit of God speak to her, take one of your bananas and shove it down his throat next time he walks by. And she fought with God on it. She was like, seriously, God, like, I'm going to die if I do that. They're going to kill me. And he goes, just do what I say. And so she took a banana, and she shoved it down his throat. And it lodged right there. He fell to the ground, and he started shaking. And all of the people in the tribe, instead of coming after her, they recognized, wow, you're bold. We warriors don't even have the courage to come against this witch doctor. We don't question him. We don't ask him about anything. Tell us about why you're here. And she got to witness to the king. He got saved. He heard the gospel. Then the whole tribe got saved. Not even kidding. True story. When she got home, she's telling her sister about this. And her sister goes, when did this happen? And they started timing up their timelines. And her sister said, the weirdest thing happened to me. I was home. The Lord woke me up out of bed. I began praying in tongues. I could not stop praying for hours. And to the time that the king of that tribe got saved, I stopped praying. I felt the release, and the Lord said, okay, you're done. You see, our prayer language is fighting for someone across the world who is going into the battlefield for Jesus. Guys, you get to partner in these activities with the Holy Spirit because he knows it's not about us, but it's beyond us. Another cool story, Jack Hayford, he was a mighty man of God, and he was on the plane traveling, and he was reading his Bible, and there was a man next to him. And the man next to him was like, oh, you believe in the Bible? And he goes, well, yeah. And he goes, do you? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, you know, I've heard people speaking in tongues. What do you think about that speaking in tongues thing? It's weird. And Jack goes, well, actually, I have my prayer language. And he goes, would you want to hear it? And the guy goes, sure. So Jack starts talking in his prayer language to this man who's stuck in a seat next to him. And then he stops, and the man goes, whoa, stop. And he goes, how do you know my native language? And Jack goes, well, I don't know where you're from. And he goes, no, English is my second language. My first language you just spoke and told me the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. And he goes, I want to pray that prayer you just told me about. And Jack was like, let's go, let's pray. And they prayed right there, and he got saved on that airplane. Wow. You do not understand how you're going to be used, but God wants to give you this gift that will bless others, that will edify your spirit man and edify others. Number three, are you guys okay? Three, interpretation of tongues. It's an understanding or an expressing the thought or an intent of the message of the tongue. It means in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 14, 5, it says, I would like for everyone to speak in tongues, but I would rather them prophesy, but the one who prophesies than him who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. I'm not going to get into all the other scriptures in that chapter. We've already kind of covered them. And I think we've given a display of what it means. But when we interpret, it brings edification and a strengthening to the body of Christ around us. It brings a word from heaven right to the heart of man. And when this gift is in operation, it has a general understanding and a gist of what is being said from the prayer language of what somebody was doing. Sometimes people will give, they will speak in tongues, and then you'll have somebody across the room actually know the interpretation of it. Sometimes when you're praying, you can ask God for the interpretation of what it is you just prayed for, like we talked about. One time, Dan and I, we went to a Spanish-speaking church, and Dan was the speaker. And he had an interpreter with him, and she was dynamic, right? Like, she was on fire. She was a Latin lady, and she just knew what she was doing. So I'm watching Dan, and we have a couple services, and the first one, I'm like, we get to the back room. I'm like, dude, she out-preached you. I don't even know what she said, but you need to step up your game next service. And he was like, okay, why did they give me somebody so on fire? So Dan became Pentecostal that day. But for the people in the room, they couldn't understand what Dan was saying, but she gave the interpretation of it, right? Like, so just so when we don't understand the language in which we're listening to, we need an interpreter. Sometimes our prayer language is something that people are not going to understand, so we need to interpret. It's an interpretation of what is going on. Everyone's interprets life differently, right? We all interpret things differently, or we perceive life differently. We all can be in the same situation. You see this in the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell the same story, but they all tell it from different perspectives, and you're like, oh, he left out this part, and he left out that part. He's not a man of many words, and this one is a man of a lot of words. So we all interpret things differently. So many times when I'm driving my kids home, not anymore. So enjoy your littles, because they grow up so fast. But I remember picking all three kids up from school. I would never ask Chloe how her day was first. I would ask the boys, and this would be my answer. Good. Did anything happen? Nah. How's your teacher? Boring. Okay. What happened on the playground? Nothing. Good to talk to you guys. And then Chloe, literally from the time she stepped out of my car, every conversation she had with every friend, and I was like, so done. By the time I got home, like, dude, I don't care. And so, like, right? So we see things through different lenses. If you're a girl, you're going to see things through a different lens than a guy is. Some of us are just sensitive to things more than other people are. But I believe that when we are interpreting the Spirit of God through tongues, God's Spirit is going to be revealed exactly how he wants it to be. He's going to interpret that the way that our hearts need it to be hearing it. You see, God is all things to all man. And it is beautiful. And so, because of all of that, I wanted to give us some time. Oh, we're done with this one. Are you guys good? But I have some ministry time, so that's why I didn't have you do your tables today, because I believe that we cannot teach on these things and not give an opportunity for people to receive the baptism, speaking in tongues, of the Spirit. But before we do, you have to be saved first. You got to know who Jesus is as your personal Lord and Savior. What does that mean? That means that Jesus died on that cross for you. He went and he became the spotless lamb for you. It was only through the blood of an animal or a lamb or a sheep or a goat, something that was spotless. The blood had to be shed to wash away your sin in the Old Testament. And God knew that the only spotless thing would be him. So God sent his son named Jesus. And Jesus came and dethroned himself of God and put on human. And he became man. And when he left this earth, he was crucified, not by the Pharisees, not by the Jews, not by man. He says, nobody takes my life from me. I lay my life down. He knew that he was coming for us. He knew that it had to be done. He knew that his blood was the only blood that could be shed to wash away your sins. Your sin is too big for you to overcome, but by the blood of the Lamb, it will wash away your sins and make you new in Christ Jesus. And he says that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and that no man comes to the Father, comes to God, except through Jesus and believing that he is Lord and he is God. And so today I want to give you an opportunity to confess him as Lord and Savior and say, yes, I believe that Jesus died for me. And I need my sins washed away and cleansed. That's me, Pastor. Listen, you cannot clean up your mess. I wasn't able to clean up my mess. But it was the grace of God on that cross that sacrificed it so I could come and I could receive Jesus. And I could get all he has for me. And so just like he did it for me, he will do it for you. So today, if you do not know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to know him. It's one thing to know him in your mind, right? Like, we know who the president is. We know who our governor is. We know who our kid's teacher is. But do I know them? No, I don't know them. I'm not intimately, like, in a relationship with these people. God is not calling you to know who he is. Did you know demons actually know who Jesus is and believe in God? Satan himself knows scripture and believes in God. He knows. So you're not any greater just knowing who he is, but you need to be in a personal relationship with him. That means you invite him to come and live in your life, come and dwell in your life. And once you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, then all these things will be added to you, these gifts, these beautiful things that he has for you. But it first starts with a decision to say, yes, I need God. Yes, I've been running from God instead of to God. Maybe that was your story. Maybe you've just been doing more of your own thing instead of God's thing. And you're saying, I got to get right. I can't keep running this way. I need to give God everything I have. Today is your day. If you've never asked Jesus in your heart, today is your day. You have now heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you will be accountable one day when you stand before him, because every single person will stand before God when they pass. And they will have to give an account for their life. And this moment right now, he will bring back. And you will be accountable. What did you do when you heard the gospel? Did you reject me or did you accept me? Did you make me the Lord of your life? So Jesus is calling you home. He absolutely loves you. He gave his life for you. He saw you on that cross. He said, God, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is for you. Grace is for you. Love is for you. True love, love you've never known before. You will only know it when you know Jesus personally. Otherwise, it's just not a love that comes from heaven. That is the only true love. And so today, if you want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to bang my hand like that. When I do, I want you to raise your hand. When you raise your hand, you're declaring, yes, I want God. Yes, I need healing in my life. Yes, I need God to be the Lord of my life. And then we will pray with you, because you don't just get saved by raising your hand, but we will pray together. We will invite Jesus to come into your heart and to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Okay? So on the count of three, get ready. If you've been running from God instead of to God, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, be the Lord of your life, if you need to turn from demonic witchcraft and evil ways, today is your day. Lay that aside and give Jesus your heart and your life, and he will deliver you from evil. Get ready on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hands if you need Jesus. Raise your hands. Anyone in this room?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.